nearly had a wardrobe malfunction there. But we're all right, we're here. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to the Salvation Army this morning. John is away at a family wedding, so the announcements are down to me. We'll keep it brief. Straight after the meeting, we need to clear all of the chairs out of the hall in readiness for the Christmas Tree Festival next week. That brings me on to my second announcement. It's the Christmas Tree Festival next week. From Tuesday until Saturday, you'll have started seeing posters like these dotted about and on social media, so all the details are here. Invite your friends and your family, as well as perfect strangers as well, and make sure that it's a successful week. Straight after our worship this morning, there will be tea and coffee, but the priority is the chairs, please. So if you're fit and able, we need all hands to the pump to get that job done. In terms of announcements, the only things that I'm going to bring out today is this service here on Friday, the 15th of December. And that's Gordon Rodwell's Christmas Memorial Service. And all are invited to attend that. And that service on this occasion will be conducted by me. So that's on Friday, the 15th of December, 2023 at 6:30. And it's Gordon Rodwell's Christmas Memorial Service. As you know, Gordon Rodwell's is a prominent funeral director in the town. The other thing is Sunday, the 17th of December, is our core carol service. Again, invite your friends, your family, invite everyone. Leaflets for that are going to appear from Tuesday when the Tree Festival opens. So let's fill the hall and spread and share the message of Christmas with our town, really. Is that enough? Christmas craft fair. No, Christmas wreath making. Today's the deadline to put your name down. And the sign-up sheet is there on the back notice board. So that's on Saturday the 16th then. Saturday the 16th in the afternoon. All the details are on the back. There's a participation of £15 to come and make a lovely Christmas wreath. The band introduced to us the tune of our first song this morning, and some of you will recognise that as the tune Regent Square. But we're going to sing to it some Advent words. Advent is a time of waiting for the life that is to be, when the Christ, by prophet's promise, sits enthroned on Mary's knee. Human in the way that we are human, come to earth for you and me. And I invite you to stand as we sing these words together.
Thank you.
bench seats. I think that final stanza was meant to be earth and planets. I was missing a knee. But indeed, that's the whole point, isn't it, of Advent, a time of waiting, a time of expectation. And we continue in a spirit of worship and adoration with the song Light of the World, during which time we will sing that and we will light the candle afterwards. Let's sing together. Light of the World, you came down into darkness. Let's sing together.
Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty and
Bob is coming up to light our first Advent candle this morning. But before he does so, I'll share a short prayer, and I'll invite you, after the candle has been lit, to join with me in these words. In this season of Advent, we are here to watch and wait and pray for the coming of light into the world. We long for the day when the things of darkness, selfishness and greed, suffering and oppression shall be no more. And let's join together. Lord, by your presence, light up the past that we might learn from it with thankfulness. Light up the present that we might live in it with love. Light up the future that we might prepare for it in hope. As we watch and wait and pray, may we be always ready to encounter the Lord, who is already and always with us. Amen. And we continue in prayer. And your response will be shown once again in bold and underlined on the screen. God, we come to you in our waiting. We wait with our fears, our anxieties and frustrations, our pains and regrets, our shame and confusion. God, help us to wait in peace. We wait with impatience. We rush around, preparing for the festivities, not leaving the space to prepare our hearts. God, help us to wait in faith. We wait in excitement. We are ready to celebrate. We know the story with its humbleness, simplicity, and wonder. God, help us to nurture our joy. We wait in thanksgiving. We are free and able to celebrate. Have others around us to share in the journey. We are able to wonder in the marvel of your gift. God, help us to receive your love. Amen. And we turn now to the songsters who bring to us Joy Webb's song, Come Into Our World.
Oh,
Thank you, songsters, and thank you, Kevin, for the choice of that song for this morning. Hopefully many of you will remember that last Advent our children formed a singing company / mini choir, and we got to really enjoy their singing during that period. Well, the band is back together. And they're going to be singing to us right now. So guys, we look forward to the songs you've been learning and practicing. Oh goodness me, and there's shaky, ribbony things coming out. So we're in for a treat, I can tell already. Over to you guys. We look forward to what you're going to bring to us.
This light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
I think it's time for Sunday school now, so I'll send you off that way, and we look forward to hearing you sing
next week, yeah? And it'll be brilliant, brilliant. We really, really look forward to it. These red, white and green ribbons also remind me of the flag of Italy. So we welcome Danny Day with us this morning. Thank you, Claire, for rehearsing with our children. We really enjoyed that and we look forward to what's coming next. Our sermon series this Advent is based around the carol God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and I'm led to believe that this is one of the oldest carols in existence, one that's been sung for probably close to 5 centuries. But there's a slight problem, isn't there, with the language, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. My mum used to sing a version of that, but I won't repeat it. But it's language that is sometimes a little bit hard to grasp, and perhaps a translation along the lines of, don't be in despair, good people, God grant you peace and happiness, might englobe that, help us to understand what that means a little bit better. So as I say, this carol is going to shape our thinking, and particularly that theme of comfort and joy, as you've seen on the screens before you, is going to shape and guide us through our period of Advent. So really, we've got to sing it. But before we do sing it, I'm taking a risk today, and I'm going to be asking for participation during the sermon. And because I'm kind, I'm giving you advance warning. And I'm going to ask you at one point during the sermon to share with us all a verse that brings you comfort. A Bible verse that brings you comfort. So now's your time to get your phone Bible apps out, your paper Bible apps out, get your memory running, because for many this will be a memory thing. This is the verse that does it for me. So a verse that brings you comfort. I would like you to be ready to share that in the latter stages of the message later on. But in the meantime, there's plenty still to come, so you've got plenty of time to think. But now, let us sing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen together, and invite you to stretch your legs and stand if you're able. please take your seats. I enjoyed that. And I like how a lot of these carols just kind of take us nicely through the story of Christmas. And while we were singing that, I realised that I'm such a bando that I've probably never sung that in my life before. So that was a first for me. And talking of which, over to the band to bring us a selection called Reflections on Advent. Thanks to that band for it. Just thanks to the band for that selection of well-known carols. And it felt like Christmas Eve at times during that arrangement.
We're going to turn to the worship band now and change the atmosphere. And we're going to sing together, "Strength Will Rise As We Wait Upon the Lord." And as we sing, the offering will be taken up.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, You reign forever. Our hope, our strong
I feel like carrying on. We now have the Bible reading, which Linda is going to bring to us. It will be familiar because I've quoted it recently, but I've decided to bring it out again.
Our Bible reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verses 15 to 21. And I'm reading from the New International Version of Scripture. And in this Bible, the title is, "Jesus Promises the Holy Spirit." If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them." May God add His blessing to that reading.
I just love that chapter 14. of John's Gospel. And in fact, I love that whole passage really from John 13:31 all the way to the end of 17. A beautiful, beautiful discourse of Jesus's, hardly interrupted. Occasionally interrupted by a dumb question from the disciples. But a lovely, reassuring discourse, full of promises and hope. And I encourage you to read it. So God's desire to comfort his people is frequently expressed throughout the Bible. And perhaps most famously we might think of these words found in Psalm 23 verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's not the rod and the staff that comfort, of course. It's God holding them and using them that brings comfort. In Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 18. You who are my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. And the statement of comfort that has come to be most closely associated with the coming of Jesus Christ is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 2. And I'm reading in the NIV right now. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all our sins. And these verses from Isaiah paint a picture of a father who loves and consoles his children with tender words that both reassure them and bless them. So today's message will be based on the assumption that this desire to comfort his children remains an integral and essential and important part of God's nature and purpose today. God wants, God is waiting to offer us comfort, whatever the circumstances that we are living, that we are facing, or experiencing. In the carol, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, the words remind us that God remains ever present in our lives. And the main thrust of the carol is to declare good news to a world gone astray, a world that has wandered away from God, a humanity that has chosen its own path. And the good news, to quote the carol, is this. Jesus came to save us all from Satan's power. So despite it being one of the oldest carols, its message remains true for us and the society in which we live. Good news, indeed. And I hope that the reminder that this carol gives us will bring us great comfort too. God is with us, God is for us, and God is in us. On Remembrance Sunday, my message was based on this same chapter 14 of John's Gospel, where Jesus promises peace to his disciples as they all head towards Jesus' departure, and the exact circumstances of which at this stage in the story are unknown. And I could have, on that occasion, I perhaps should have concentrated more on the role of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that plays a central role in sharing, in spreading, in being that peace after Jesus's departure. The Holy Spirit in John's Gospel is known as the Parakletos in Greek, which is rendered as the paraclete in English. So difficult it is to actually translate. It's a rather mysterious word. We're not entirely sure what it means. But it's most often translated as advocate, as it is in the NIV. As comforter, as it is in the King James Bible. Or even helper, as it is in the Good News Bible.
And these translations can vary depending on the context in which this word parakletos is used. In John 14 verse 26, and I'm now reading from the King James version, Jesus says this: "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And the emphasis here is that the promised Comforter will help the disciples remember Jesus' teaching after he has returned to the Father. In other words, the Comforter's role is to help the disciples to stand firm on what they know of Jesus and of God's plans through him. So this undoubtedly would have been a source of comfort in the face of opposition and persecution for them, these early Christians, but also in the face of all sorts of circumstances that we might live through and experience. Earlier in chapter 14, Jesus says, and again I'm still reading from the King James Version, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And this abide is a key word in John's Gospel. And these are wonderful words, aren't they? Jesus promises this Comforter, this Advocate, this Helper, someone that will take his place. And not only will this person comfort, not only will this person advocate, not only will this person help, but this person will remain forever with the faithful. So Jesus' comforting presence through his Holy Spirit is indeed good news. And Jesus' coming also is a source of great joy. And I'm quoting here from Luke, just moving on very slightly in our thinking. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" So the songwriter was right. The songwriter of "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen" was right. The birth of Jesus is indeed tidings of comfort and joy. At the risk of repeating last week's message, we do live in difficult times. And you could say that the current events in the world around us seem to contradict God's promise of loving comfort. Division is wrecking unity. War is destroying peace. Poverty and economic hardship are causing suffering and despair. Climate change is blighting the planet's ecosystems. And I could go on. And faced with the rolling barrage of 24-hour bad news, it is easy to feel not only powerless, but hopeless too. There's so little we can do as individuals to make a difference to these global issues. And we are right to wonder where the comfort is in the midst of these challenging and desperate situations. Where is the joy when all we seem to be exposed to is suffering and despair? But this is precisely where God steps in. And this is what the story of Christmas is all about. The Son of God takes on flesh, becomes one of us, shares in the messiness of human life, and shows us a way out by offering joy, hope, peace, and love. And we have also got to recognize that we are a privileged people because we have been given that Comforter whose presence remains with us and continues to remind us of the promises that have been accomplished in and through Jesus Christ. So as people who recognize the truth of these words. As people who know that God, through the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, continues to step into our existence to give us the strength to be the kind of people who speak words and lead lives that bring comfort, joy, and healing to others. So, over to you. Earlier in the meeting, I asked you to think of a verse of scripture that brings you comfort. And I wonder if a few would be brave enough to share that verse with us all now, but I'm going to be brave and I'll start. And it's only fair, isn't it? And for me, a verse that matters to me a lot, because it was spoken over me at my commissioning as an officer. And because I am a reluctant responder to God's calling on my life, less so now. Don't worry, I'm not in crisis. But these are verses because I see the limitations of my own ability and I wonder why on earth God would call me. But these verses continue to speak to me. And we read in Joshua chapter 1 verse 6, "Be strong and courageous." And apparently there's 365 iterations of that promise in the Bible. One for every day of the year. That's one way of looking at it. "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." So this brings me comfort, because it reassures me about the calling of God in my life. And it, because He gives me the strength and the courage required. But it also reminds me of the destination, where we're going, and my responsibility in leading His people towards that place. So there's a verse that speaks to me, and particularly, and I realise that I've forgotten to pick up a Roman mic, but Simon's he's a good man, and he reads the line, and he's ready, so we're going to pass over the baton. Oh, Lisette is ready. There we go.
Is it on? Yeah. Now mine is exactly the same as Paul. So his is verse 6, mine is verse 9. And I got mine just before entering training college to become an officer. And it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And that's really important for me, leaving everything and going somewhere where I didn't really want to go, to be honest, but knowing that God was going with me and that He will always go with me wherever I am really gives me encouragement.
Thank you, Lisette. So I wonder if anyone else has got... Oh, I see some phones at the ready. I like this.
Over the last almost 2 years, this one has been very true and very, in my heart. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster."
Thank you very much, Maureen, and it's true. But that verse, that future, does include hardship and trouble and hard times before it's accomplished. Does anyone else? Oh, Dennis.
"Behold, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world."
Thank you very much for that reminder of God's faithfulness. Louise.
Okay, so it's my wedding anniversary on Wednesday. And when my mother-in-law made our wedding invites, she put this scripture on it. And it's always brought me comfort. And it's, "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." So that's Ecclesiastes 4:12. And it brings me reassurance that whatever we face as a family, as long as God is there as well, we can overcome it.
Thank you, Louise. Band, I am coming your way, so be ready.
spoken over me when I was baptized. That was in my mid-50s, and it was my nephew. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight.
Thank you, Derek. Oh, Dorothy.
At the beginning of the year, when David went into hospital for the first time, I got given a verse, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. And throughout this horrible year, I felt God with me every step of the way.
Thank you very much, Dorothy, for sharing. Angie.
Mine is about love. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always preserves.
Lovely, thank you very much. And these are reassuring and comforting words, I'm absolutely sure. This side's been underrepresented. Julia, I'm coming. Have a think, people. Even if you don't want to share it, what is it? And perhaps come and tell me afterwards.
This is the Message version of Hebrews 13, verse 6. This is a verse I cling to a lot. God assured us, I'll never let you down, never walk off and leave you. We can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what. Who or what can get to me?
Thank you very much, Julia. Shirley, you look ready, and I think Glenys was as well.
Thank you. Mine is three verses, actually. Psalm 139, I just never can quite grasp just how wonderful these words are. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. That brings me great comfort.
Great words of comfort, true, but they ought to bring us fear as well.
Thank you. Some years ago, I was in Addenbrookes for 10 days. Doug was told, he didn't bother telling me, that for two of those days it was critical whether I lived or didn't. And the verse that kept me going was, he who dwells in the secret of the Most High will rest in the presence of the Almighty.
Thank you very much. And we're seeing the importance here of Psalms, you know, when we're talking about this stuff. Is there someone over here to finish us off? Oh, Ben, thank you very much. Ben's got a couple.
I'll follow Shirley's lead and go for more than one. So mine are a couple of verses from 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And then verse 9 says, stand firm against him, that's being the devil, and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. As someone who suffers with anxiety, that's quite a useful thing to remember.
I like your application, Ben. Thank you very much. You're not alone in facing these things. David, were you ready or not? I was just assuming. They've all been said, yes. Lovely. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for taking part so willingly. And for encouraging us all. And I'm sure that there could be a lot more verses. In fact, I'm sure if there's about 100 of us here this morning, there's going to be about 100 of these verses that speak to us in different ways. And I wonder if it would be helpful during this period of Advent to carry these verses with us, to take them with us. And to remember that we can find comfort in the fact that all of God's promises are fulfilled in that baby born in a manger some 2,000 years ago or so. But to bring this message to a close and to offer a further challenge. I wonder if you could reflect on ways in which our lives and our presence could be a source of comfort within our own families and our own communities. Who right now might benefit from your prayers, your words, or your actions? Because in many ways, my comfort and my joy is dependent on our comfort and our joy. So let us this Advent time find ways to bring and to be tidings of comfort and joy to those around us. So we're going to sing a simple chorus. It's a Salvation Army chorus, but to a well-known tune from classical music. And we're going to sing, "Come, Holy Spirit, and abide with me. My heart is longing to confide in thee. Such wondrous grace thou hast provided me. Holy Spirit, abide with me." And I hope in this chorus you see all sorts of connections with what I have shared this morning. And I hope that you are comforted by the fact that the Holy Spirit is with you. But I hope that you also know that the Holy Spirit is with you to be a comfort to others. Let us sing these words together. Is indeed our prayer this morning, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and abide with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and abide in me. Come, Holy Spirit, and move through me. Father, we thank you for this gift. We thank you for the Comforter that remains with us forever, teaching us, helping us to understand what Jesus did. Holy Spirit, fill us that we might be the people you want us to be. Holy Spirit, move us to be Jesus to others. Holy Spirit, move us to bring comfort to others. Holy Spirit, abide with me. Amen.
We close our worship this morning with a song from the Salvation Army repertoire. And it's a brilliant song because it shows how Old Testament prophecy is fulfilled in and through the person of Jesus Christ. So let us stand together and sing together, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God Among Us. Again, no more darkness. Imagine that. I'm about to become very theological, so we'll leave it there. But imagine that. He is coming again. And there'll be no more separation between heaven and earth. He's coming again. And all will be light and love. I want to be there. So I want to be ready. And I hope that you do too. Go now and walk in the light of the Lord. Stay alert, for the Lord is near. Put on the armor of light and live openly and honorably. Pray for peace for all God's people. And may God clothe you in the light of Christ. May Christ Jesus teach you his ways. And may the Holy Spirit keep you alert and prepared for the coming day of the Lord. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.